Good morning, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Jesus. Welcome that Jesus Christ rules. You know, as I look around this world, I see so much trouble, so much consternation, evil against children. I see so much hatred and division and strife. What do we need to solve the problems of this world? You know, I look at the little children singing, "Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves them." And Jesus loves you too. And God has a grand plan and vision for the world. And the world that I see around me, the world I see in media, is not the vision that God has. Now, God has a vision. No matter what the world does, and he's going to bring about his kingdom, a kingdom that is far different and far better than even our little children go through now, even as they sing, "Yes, Jesus loves me." And I believe that we can be assured. We don't have to be afraid of the future. We can be assured of the future because we know who guides and leads the future. It's not the devil. It's not this one or that one. It is God Almighty. He rules the world. And we can be at peace with that. And we can put our faith in the risen Jesus Christ. Yes, Jesus loves us. And because he loves us, we can put our faith in the one who loves us and who is in control of all things. He is our source of strength and help. And we need not fear. We need not be shaken because our God has his hands on everything. And what the world needs now, he's got plenty of it. You know what the world needs now? It's not more money. It's not more guns. It's not more hatred and violence. What the world needs now is love. Yes, even love for enemies, I may mention later. But what the world needs now is, well, I want to let somebody sing it to you. I want to let someone sing it to you because that's a way to get it into our hearts. Yes, Jesus loves us. And what the world needs now is love, the love of Jesus. Let's play that song. What the world needs now is what? Love. Let's hear it.
Oh, what the world
How inspiring to know what the world needs now is love, sweet love, God's love. I want us to turn to our text today, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, 3. And this is what Jesus said. Listen to what he said. He said, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to be inflamed, burned, but do all of that, but if I have not love, I gain nothing. Notice the power that Jesus, that God, gave to his love. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to read it again. I think it's that important that it gets deep down in our soul. 1 Corinthians 13, 3. If I give everything, my car, my station wagon, that's in a car, we know that, my football, my house on the hill, if I give everything away, if I possess all that I possess, if I give all I possess to the poor, sounds like a good thing, doesn't it? And surrender my body to flames, but have not love, what's the most important thing? But have not love, I gain nothing. Who wants a big fat zero up on the board? No. We want the star. We want God. We want his love and his mercy. And we want to be like him, for what the world needs now is the love of God through you and through me. But if I have not that love, I gain nothing. Our whole world is for nothing. And God has a vision for the world, a vision for his people, and that we be like Jesus Christ. We gain nothing otherwise. So let us pray today. I want to show you some of the ways that Jesus loves. And I want us to look and see if we can identify that we need the ways of Jesus, the love of Jesus. So as I read, I want us to ask God to open our hearts and our minds. And Father, we ask you to do that. Just show us where we need you. And we ask you to show us and change our hearts. Let's begin reading some of these things where we need to change. As I read these, ask God to show you how this applies to your life. Part of being like Jesus is loving like Jesus loved. God has that vision, that grand vision of conforming all to the image of his Son. He wants you all to be like Jesus. He wants me to be more like Jesus. He wants you to be more like Jesus. See, that's what changes the world. Jesus, the power of his love. God's goal will be accomplished. I can't tell you when, but I know that God is able, more than able. The way things are now, they do not have to stay the way they are. Jesus was always obedient to his Father, and he has a pure heart in every way. And he loved people. He loved people of all races. He loved people of all nations. And he loved people selflessly. Selflessly. That means that his and what we need from him, he is willing to give if we trust him. And he loved people, again, selflessly. He loved people above himself. Now, he's very God. He is the Son of God. And yet he loved us more. He commanded his disciples to love each other the same way he had loved them. I'm going to say that again because it's so important. He commanded during his ministry and his life, his disciples to love each other. That's how important loving others is. The same way he had loved them. But that presents a problem, doesn't it? Jesus demonstrated his love by dying for us, saying, "There's no greater love than this." And since most of us will never be called to die for someone, what does it mean to love like Jesus? It means to lay down one's life. It means to put others ahead of yourself. In John 3:16, it tells us what it means to love like Jesus loves. You want to hear it? Father, I ask you to open our hearts and minds to hear your word. John 3:16 tells us what it means to love like Jesus. God so loved the world that he gave his son, his one and only son. Would you give your last dollar? Would you give your last breath? Would you give your last child? Would you give your last whatever it may be so that others may live? Do we really love like Jesus loved? For what the world needs now is not just love. The world needs the love of God. It needs the love of God. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. We need people who will give their lives for others. Godly love gives sacrificially. Loving like Jesus means we hold everything we own. Now you think about what you own. Is it that car? Is it that convertible? Is it that boat? Is it that animal? What is that you love? Jesus so loved the world that he gave his only, his one and only, that whoever believes may live. Loving like Jesus means we hold everything we own with loose hands, open hands, open arms. We're willing to part with money. More money, more money. No, more love, more love, more sacrifice, more sacrifice, more giving. Everything we own with open hands. We're willing to part with money, time. I ain't got time for you. That person, you may be the last breath that person takes to continue life. Because you were willing to give your time, let alone life, to others, your possessions, in order to serve other people. We recognize that all we may have is on loan to us from our Father. I'm going to say that again. Do you realize that everything you have, you have it on loan. It's not yours. You may think it's yours, but he owns, even as it says, the cattle on a hill. He owns us, the Father in heaven. And he's a gracious Father. And we are responsible for what we do with what he gives us. We give people what they need when it is within our power to do so. We don't pretend. I should not pretend that I didn't see that need, or turn our head, or we see somebody in need and we know they're in need. We just walk on by. That's not the song God wants us to sing, walk on by. Oh, no. What the world needs now is love. Love for one another. When we see people, when we see a brother or a sister in need, and we have resources that could help, we don't go into a mode of analysis. Well, they should have gone to college to have enough money to eat. We don't go into the judgment. We open our pocketbooks and before that, our hearts to help others. Resources that could help. We are to share what we have with them. This is biblical. Jesus was undiscriminating in the way he loved. He didn't judge people. He left that to God. If they're not doing right, and I help them, and woulda, shoulda, coulda, let God decide that. Jesus was undiscriminating in the way he loved. He warned us that it is easy to love those who are like us. No, that's not our lifestyle, is it? But what can we learn from looking back and hearing about Jesus? But Jesus loved even his enemies. I'm never going to forgive them. They did that to me. You think I'm going to give them some soup? Oh, no, not up in here. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. What the world needs now is people like us, the people of God, the children of God. He warned us that it is easy to love those who are like us. Oh, come on, bro. Let's roll together. No, he wants us to love people who are not like us. But Jesus loved even his enemies and expects his followers. Are you a follower of Jesus? It's one thing to wear a cross, it's another thing to bear a cross. His followers to do the same, says in Luke, that he healed and fed, mistreated to many who would later cry, "Crucify him! Hang him from a tree! Kill him!" Hope I didn't scare you, but I hope I moved you. That Jesus died for those he knew would kill him, for what the world needs now. Jesus understood what the world needed then and needs now is love, sweet love, even if it takes your life, my life. He washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. Washed his feet. I ain't washing their feet. They can go over there and get the foot wash. Or they can go where their people go. He washed the feet of Judas Iscariot, who was not a part of his background, knowing that within hours Judas would betray him. He made a point of ministering to the hated Samaritans. And oh no, I ain't fooling with them people. You know how they smell. You know how they live. The Samaritans, the people of the Middle East, and especially there where Jesus was born, hated the Samaritans. They look at them as lowlifes, even making a Samaritan. This is how Jesus rolls, though, as they say. This is how Jesus rolls. Jesus rolls in such a way that those who were at the lowest class, Jesus made sure he took care of them, even though he knew that they didn't care much for him. Even making a Samaritan, he made him a hero out of a parable. Rich and poor, young and old, religious and irreligious. Now, as I roll these things by you, I hope you're saying, maybe I need to think about this again. Pagan people. You know who Jesus hung with? Pagan people flocked to hear Jesus because he loved them. Jesus loved pagans, thought he was a Christian. He was a Christian because he first loved the pagans. And the pagans saw that love. And he was able to change their lives, many of them. People flocked to hear Jesus because he loved them. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, maybe later on you can read Mark 10, verse 1. To love like Jesus. There used to be a song called Love Like Jesus. If we love like Jesus, then we would really love like Jesus. You say, Pastor, that's like double talk. Maybe we need to go back around and look at it. To love like Jesus means we cannot be selective in who and we treat and how we treat people. James strongly condemns favoritism based on financial and social status. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Whoa. Do you show favorites? Well, them not my people. They weren't Jesus' people either, and he died for them. And because he died for them, and because he loved them the way Jesus loves, and when you love the way Jesus loves, you draw people to you. But if you show favoritism, you sin, and we are convicted by the law as transgressors. We are to treat every human being with dignity and respect, remembering that this person is a special creation designed in the image of God. We must work to rid our hearts, and it's hard to do that. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm saying it's the Jesus way. It's the Jesus way. We must work to rid our hearts of racial prejudice, socio-economic snobbery. Well, how much you get paid? None of your business. I'm sorry. You don't respond that way. And the religious superiority. Well, I go to the Baptist church. Well, I go to the Methodist church. No, that's not of God. None of that belongs in the life of someone who wants to love like Jesus loves. We must not equate love with acceptance of everything one does. In other words, don't misunderstand me. We must not equate love with acceptance of everything someone does. Jesus did not tolerate sin, deception, or false followers. He was painfully direct with the Pharisees. Religious leaders, and those who claim to love him, but love their lives more. While still loving them, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, calling them hypocrites and blind fools. Jesus, yes, that's my Lord. And that's your Savior. He challenged the righteous or the religious leaders with a warning. Not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. He puzzled the half-hearted by telling them, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. There's much more I want to say, but I appreciate your patience. And we'll pick this up in weeks to come. But let us pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace. Thank you for being patient with us. Change our hearts, Lord. Thank you so much. Thank you that you are conforming us into your image. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen. Amen. Now it's time to partake of the Lord's Supper. And we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to read 16 through 17. That's 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 17, as we partake through faith in the body and the blood of Jesus, through the bread and through the wine. 1 Corinthians 10, 16 through 17. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the participation, having part in the blood of Christ? said, is it not? Is it just the piece of bread and just a swallow of wine? Is there more to this? The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not? And this is a self-examination. Is this not a participation in the blood of Christ? Is it not this participation through his blood that we are cleansed of all of our sins and that we are accepted by God? That we are holy with him and in him in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break wants us to analyze and ask ourselves, is this question, is this not a participation in the body of Christ? How can this be? It's a great mystery, but it's a reality. Through faith in Jesus Christ, we become part of his body and of his blood. That is what we believe, that this is in Christ. Yes, by a miracle. Yes, by faith. Yes, by the glory of God. He makes us a part of his family. That's why we're called Christians. That's why we love God and he loves us. And we are told to love one another. Jesus gave his blood. He gave his life and he gave his flesh to help, to serve, to love, to grow others. Through the centuries, through many, many, many years, God chose us. Amazing. Why would he choose Earl Williams? Why would he choose, what's your name? But you chose us. And you not just chose us, you paid a price. You gave yourself for me and our brothers and sisters. The cup of blessing we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? And the bread that we break, is it not? In other words, we say amen to this, a participation in the body of Christ. Because there is one bread. There's one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we who are many are one body with him. For we're all made to partake. We all partake of the bread. We all partake of the wine, the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood supplied, for your love. Thank you, Jesus, for your body and bread. Thank you for the power of your life in us, in Jesus' name. Now let's sing The Power of the Cross.
Every bit evil deep, crowning your blood-stained brow. This the power of the cross. Christ became sin for us, took the blame.
Rush to